Welcome back for the afternoon service. We'll go and take our great hymnals and go to number 264. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, 264. And we'll sing all three verses. Why don't we go and stand? This is the only one we'll be singing this afternoon, so we'll stand at least here at the beginning. So we'll stand and do all three verses.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Head of heaven, lead me till I want no
seated.
Let's have a word of prayer. We thank you, Father, for the liberty we have here to come and to search the Word of God and see its application to what's going on in our world today. Bless the speaker, bless us as hearers, and we pray that everything that we think and desire and do will be in keeping with submission to the authority of our God, the Father of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. Everybody get enough to eat? Thank you to anyone who ordered the snow to make me feel at home again. I make the most of it. Who's made their snow angel this year? I made a few of them. Country ski too. So welcome back. This is part two of the tyranny talk, and today we're going to take a look at what the tyrants have planned for us. And a little housekeeping again. I'm solidifyyourfaith.webs.com. There's a video. And then again, I forgot it, but I'll send a box of them. If whoever donates, we'll send some for you, and you can pick it up. And the last talk on that DVD is Think Outside the Box. There was a state college in Florida that gave me the microphone. It was so much fun. The Christian organization, they invited me to come in, and I asked, and they encouraged the students to come. Had five classes there, five professors, and they gave them Chick-fil-A at the end. And I asked the advisor, I said, do you want me to share the gospel here? He goes, that's why we're doing this. And so that's on that DVD. So, feel free. And again, I gave this talk, Tools of Tyranny. I just gave it on Thursday, and it's on a creation group out in California asked me to do it. And I gave it Thursday, and then I watched the Highwire Friday, and it's like, man, I got to update this thing. There was so much stuff that came out on Highwire, so we're going to get you up to date. And there is a battle, right? You look around, and why is the world such a mess? Well, it's because there's a battle in almost every area of life all around you between God's truth and Satan's lies. And ground zero for this battle is creation based on the Bible, versus evolution based on imagination. And the idea has come out of this battle. And the main battle is there a God or not? You know, if there's no God, well, now who's in charge? The ultimate authority is the government. And we're seeing that. And people want a world government for the ultimate authority. And we're going to take a look at what they want to put in place. I mean, just think, if you were Satan, what would you like to control? How about the money with digital currency? How about movement with digital vaccine passports and carbon credits, control the energy? And 15-minute cities, that's what they want us in. And if you leave too much, they'll fine you. My brother-in-law sent me that article, and in the heading it said, let the Hunger Games begin, because they want you to live in those districts, control the food. You know, they want a World Food Organization, because the World Health Organization does such a good job. And they obviously control the media and the government and education. Then we're going to give you some questions that can expose the tyranny. And because sometimes you can't tell somebody something, but if you ask them a question, like who paid the biggest criminal fine in U.S. history, or why are the vaccine inserts blank, or, you know, and if the question's not answered properly, it doesn't go away. And hopefully it wakes them up at night and they dig into it. And then what to do is at the end. And Bobby Kennedy, he frames this really well. I've got so much respect for the stand he's taken in the past and what he's currently doing. He's been in this battle for decades. And listen to what he says. You just have to do your duty. Can everybody hear that okay? Or is that a little soft? Okay. Yeah, and he's been in the battle. And we're getting stronger, but they're getting their net in place. So it's a battle. It's a time frame. Who's going to win? Who's going to get? Are we going to beat them, or are they going to control us? And again, this is Yuval. Let's hear what he has to say.
Everybody all the time, and knowing everything you do, and not just everything you do, but even everything you think and everything you feel. Whether it's a tyrant in ancient Greece or whether it's Stalin, they always dreamt about it. They could never do it because it was technically impossible. Now it's possible.
Now it's possible. Aren't we lucky? But that's what they want to do. They want to track us. They want to control us. And again, this is Yuval, his website. You know, history will end when humans become gods. We went over this in the last hour. Look in the background of this. Climate change and ecological collapse. So be afraid. Be very afraid. Only we can save you. Have we seen this before? The invisible enemy, if you don't do what they say, the world's going to end. And it's that way over and over and over again. And this is the talk. It's the words, vast surveillance, track people under the skin, digital dictatorship, hackable animals, divine powers of creation and destruction, upgrading humans to gods, Jesus is fake, free will is over. That's him in a nutshell. So why are we talking about this in church? Because this is where the mindset of a godless mind goes. Evolutionary mindset goes that way. And so that's why we're talking about it. We need to know what powerful evolutionists have in store for us so we can resist it. And I've got a Rumble channel called Education Not Indoctrination where you can see more of this, also solidify your faith. And to see what they want to do, all we have to do is look at whitehouse.gov. This document, this G20 Bali Declaration, it just outlines what they want to do. And before we dive into that, let's take a look at who brought it to us. We thank the WHO for continuing to host the Secretariat with support from the World Bank, the bankers. I think we got to keep a real close eye on the bankers. You control the money, you control the world, so we have to watch them. And let's see who they're thanking. Whose idea? Who are they trying to make happy? Who are they looking to please? We thank the UN, the World Bank Group, IMF, Gavi, Global Fund, Medicine Patent Pool, Sustainable Energy for All, World Economic Forum, the WHO, UNESCO, UNICEF, G20, for their valuable inputs and policy recommendations. And look at all those other letters. You know, I could have said initials for about 2 minutes. How many of those people are elected? How many of those people want what's best for us? Or are they just doing what's best for them? And so in this document, this is what it talks about. They want to track people. It's essential to ensure that no one is left behind in our effort to digitally transform our society. They want a digital prison is what they want. Nobody gets out alive. Okay, the central bank currencies for cross-border payments. This is the digital currency. And it says for cross-border payments, but this guy, I think he spoke a little too soon. He let the cat out of the bag. And if this doesn't make you shudder at what they could do if they get this, I don't know what will.
We don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that.
Did you get that? Absolute control on the rules and regulations of how they use your currency. And they'll have the technology to enforce that. That just makes me shudder. If they get that, they can make us do anything they want. And guess what? Biden signed an executive order to get this thing rolling. This is Executive Order 14067, ensuring responsible development of digital assets. And it says, within 180 days of this order, which was last year, March 9th, so this has happened, it shall submit to the President a report on the future of money and payment systems, including the conditions that drive broad acceptance of digital assets. And then it talks about payment systems, economic growth, financial inclusion, and national security. That's what their goals are. And so they've already started it in place. And so what do we do? There's a movement going on, globalwalkout.com. Just learned about this yesterday, too. Global Walkout. Step one is to use cash. Just think of all the money that's being funneled out of the communities with this credit card fee. They get 2% of everything. And you're getting tracked also. And so use cash. Again, I filled up yesterday down at the corner, paid cash for the first time in probably 2 decades. It's like, okay, we'll do that. And then with that move, global walkout, there's a sheet of paper you can cut up, and it's got a message on why you're using cash. Like, I'm using cash to make more money in the community, and also, and I'm going to make my own. It says to resist digital currency that they can turn off at any time. And here's Yuval again.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin.
Yeah, so COVID's critical, which tells me any restriction that has to do with COVID, we need to resist. Because he wants it, I'm against it. You know, it's something that we do need to resist. No more infringing it on it. And I don't know, here in North Dakota, you guys heard of COVID here in South Dakota, right? You heard of that? Yeah? Yeah, I don't know if it was like this over down here, but this is what our was like in our state.
Here come the governors! Bump, 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 bump.
Sometimes you have to laugh.
We have no rules and regulations.
I was playing this at the college on my Bluetooth.
We shall determine who is essential. We
shall determine who may go at your house and who shall have a muffin.
Yeah, and this is Jim Brewer. I encourage you to go into on Rumble. Jim Brewer, somebody had to say it. In the first 20 minutes, he just mocks COVID tyranny mercilessly. And the rest of it's okay, but at the first 20, and I made a cut of it, and I kept playing it over and over and over the week of the election, where they were, and my sign at the college is, will you reelect the COVID tyrants or vote for freedom? And I kept playing that over and over and over, and they elected the tyrants, if you believe the elections. And this is what the tyrants wanted. This is from 2020. This is the game plan.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
If we activate mandatory vaccines globally, I imagine these people stand to make hundreds of billions of dollars that own the vaccines.
And they'll kill millions.
Like they already have. And she goes on, did anybody see Died Suddenly? Let's see, raise a hand if you've seen Died Suddenly. Oh, go into Rumble, type in Died Suddenly, and share it. This is what the media is ignoring. They're sweeping it all under the rug. And the silence of health officials on this issue, they're finding clots. The embalmers have started finding clots in 2021, right when the shots started coming out. They're finding, they're pulling them out, they're fibrous. They just pull them out. So Died Suddenly. Watch it, share it. And also this book, Cause Unknown. I've got it on the table back there. It's a coffee table type book. You can just open it up and it's got headlines of people dying suddenly. And also they've came up with sudden adult death syndrome. Remember SIDS? Now it's SADS, sudden adult death syndrome. And I'm thinking they're both linked to shots. And he comes down and he says there's so many excess deaths after the shot that he says there's a crime. There's been a crime committed. And he leaves it at that. He doesn't say who committed it, but he says it needs to be investigated. And then here's Bill again.
Eventually, what we'll have to have is certificates of who's a recovered person, who's a vaccinated person, because you don't want people moving around the world where you'll have some countries that won't have it under control, sadly. You don't want to completely block off the ability for those, you know, people to go there and come back and move around. So eventually there will be sort of this digital immunity proof that, you know, will help facilitate the global reopening up.
Yeah, they cut that back in 22. They didn't want to, you know, they didn't want us to know that, but that was the game plan. And Naomi Wolf says, this is the hill to die on. She says she always looks at the news backwards, analyzes things backwards. She says, okay, what's the goal? And what's the narrative to get to the goal? Because she was an advisor for, I think, President Clinton. And she's been in those rooms. What's the goal? How do we get the people there? And she thinks this COVID thing is to get a vaccine passport and give the government control over how we move. And she says, this is the hill to die on. We can't let them have that. And then Bobby Kennedy wrote that the COVID vaccines are a Pentagon project. There are 138 companies that were involved in manufacturing and distributing the vaccine. They're all military contractors. The Pentagon and the National Security Agency ran the entire pandemic response. He said that Pfizer and Moderna don't really own those vaccines. They slapped their labels on them, but it was a Pentagon project. And there was a guy, he used to be in Pfizer, Michael Yaden, and he said when he found out that FEMA was in charge of this, his heart almost stopped. His just went cold, because FEMA doesn't know anything about vaccines or anything like that, you know. And so they'll just do what they're told. They don't know better. And he it really made him shudder. Okay, back to the Bali Declaration. Surveil people and their DNA. One health approach and enhancing. Embedding multi-sectional One Health approach and enhancing global surveillance, including genomic surveillance. So they want to track us, even our genome. All right? And then that One Health, I'd given talks before and I just kind of breezed over One Health. You need to know what One Health stands for. You go into the World Health Organization website and it says that it's to optimize the health of people, animals, and ecosystems. Well, that sounds pretty good, right? Well, you go into this article, and the Biden, and this is Epoch Times, Biden administration negotiates deal to give WHO authority over U.S. pandemic policies. That's even as we speak. I'm not sure what they've decided. But how do they define One Health? One Health surveillance, well, that's who's for it, is a concept that's been embraced by the UN, the CDC, and the World Bank. There's that World Bank again. And how do they define it? All human activity, this is One Health, okay? All human activities and all issues within the biosphere affect health and are therefore within the public health's remit. So public health can be deemed to include climate or racism or fishery management. And this is being used to claim that addressing carbon emissions is a health issue and therefore a health emergency. So they're trying to give the authority of everything to Tedros at the UN. And it goes down here, WHO zero draft states One Health surveillance means leaving the definition to be worked out in the future. It's like they can twist it to make whatever they want. And so, again, we need to oppose that. And it's legally binding. It supersedes the laws. And in this, you're going to have a worldwide medical police station under the control of the WHO, and in particular, WHO Director General Tedros. Okay, so they want the power and they want it all, and Tedros can determine what's an emergency and when it isn't. And we're still under the COVID emergency, if you haven't noticed. I think it's supposed to be coming off in a month or two. It's like it's been over for over a year, as if it ever was. And it's deliberately drafted so to circumvent the power of the Senate, which is disturbing. Okay, you know, U.S. sovereignty is slipping as WHO members agree to draft legally binding pandemic contract. And I don't know if you remember Jeremy Farrar. We would have never known about it without the Freedom of Information Act. That's the high wire. They sued. They did a Freedom of Information Act, and they asked for all the emails that Fauci had concerning the lab, and they got them. And Jeremy Farrar is in one of those email links. And basically the scientists said there's no way this was natural. It was man-made. And that's what they said at the beginning. And then Farrar gets involved and says, and they do some, like 3 or 4 days later, they're all in unison saying that it was natural. And this is Farrar. And the people that changed their mind, their university got millions of dollars from NIH, Fauci's NIH. That's how they tend to do things. And so this is, he says, Jeremy Farrar going to, this is one of them. And look at all the people that are blanked out there. Who's in this email list that they don't want us to know? My preference is that a carefully considered piece of science early in public domain will help mitigate more polarized debates. If not, that debate will increasingly happen and science will be responding to it. Not a good position to be in. Well, wait a minute, science should just follow the evidence. They're trying to steer it in their one direction. And here's our summary so far. We will be edited for the future. This is again from Jeremy Farrar. It's fundamental science and completely neutral as written, did not mention other anomalies that will make us look like loons. And so they twisted it around and they said, remember when you'd say it was a lab leak or could it be a lab leak? That was false news, fact check, Facebook jail. Who's been in Facebook jail? Oh my, well, you guys are pretty good. All right, you probably don't have it. But guess who's the World Health Organization names Jeremy Farrar as chief scientist. So the chief liar is now the chief scientist. And what does he want to do? He wants to get a vaccine for all animal influenza strains. He wants to pump us to turn us into a porcupine with all his shots. And they're gearing up for the next pandemic. You know, they did Event 201 before COVID. It was a dress rehearsal and it planned out perfectly like they did it. They've done another one, that Event 201 that was Johns Hopkins, Bill Gates, and then the World Economic Forum. And now they've just done, this is in October, they did Catastrophic Contagion. It's got Johns Hopkins, Bill Gates, and the World Health Organization. And now the guy who, the alarmist that had us locked down, Neil Ferguson, who was wrong, discredited, he's predicting 200 million people could die globally. And it was his model that shut us down before. And where does he work? He works at Imperial College. And who funds Imperial College? Bill Gates. And who took this model? The President Trump, that was Deborah Birx. And she's on the board of directors for Global Fund, which is funded by Bill Gates. And if you want to see how all these dots are connected, that's my COVID talk that got censored in 2020. You can see that on Rumble. And what does the World Bank, what do they want? $1 billion fund for vaccine passports. So whatever the World Bank wants, I oppose. I don't want them getting their way. And back to the Bali Declaration, they want digital proof of vaccination. Digital solutions and non-digital solutions, including proof of vaccination. So guess what, folks? Everybody roll up your sleeve, get your shots. Not just once, not just twice. It's going to be over and over and over again. And it's going to make pharma millions and give government total control. Okay, so what do we need to do? We need to, and this is global walkout step 11. Boost your vitamin D. Get out in the sun. So my wife and I, we went skiing the other day, and we just sat in the sun after we were done, got our vitamin C or vitamin D, and we got to take care of our health. We really have to take care of your health. Don't put your health in some bureaucrat's hands. And some of those bureaucrats want to depopulate the population. So it's very important, take care of your health. There's like this 70-some-year-old woman, just young at heart at our church, and she said, the more you sit, the more you have to sit. And she's always moving around. And I saw that at when my mom was in the nursing home. The walkers kept walking. The people that stopped walking, they had a hard time getting around. So use the body that God gave you so it doesn't fall apart. Also, they want the carbon credits. Global net zero greenhouse gas emissions, carbon neutrality by or around mid-century. And again, the big lie here is carbon dioxide is plant food. If we had more carbon dioxide, we'd have more food and less droughts. But they want to get rid of it so they can control us. Polluters will have to pay to emit carbon dioxide and make it fossil fuels history. I mean, could you imagine having electric cars in a blizzard being stranded somewhere with your electric car? Or evacuating a hurricane with electric cars? I mean, how long does it take? It takes hours to charge. It's just bizarre. And the elephant in the room is clean energy's need for unsustainable minerals. You know, like lithium. It's unsustainable. All it is, it's about control, not saving the world. Lack of energy storage makes renewable-only grids a pipe dream. And you guys by now know about Inconvenient Facts and CO2science.org. And we need to push back against these climate alarmists and understand there's a battle for science going on right now. There's the scientists and the doctors who are on the front line and see the evidence. And then there's the scientists and the doctors who are being funded by the government or pharma who want to see it a certain way. And we saw that play out with COVID. We're going to see it play out with carbon, with the climate. And there's thousands, I think 39,000 scientists who disagree that man's causing the climate change. But check into that. And this is the World Economic Forum thing, My Carbon, an approach for inclusive and sustainable cities. Those are the buzzwords, sustainable, sustainable, sustainable. And local governments are grabbing, they're taking the money from the federal government for this sustainable stuff, and they're putting in cameras and lights and surveillance, and it's part of the trap. So local governments should not take federal money. That's going to enslave us. And the first one paragraph here is, COVID-19 was a test of social responsibility. A test. And it sure was. In March of 2020, before the lockdowns, Lou Rockwell had an article, and he basically said, COVID's a test to see how fast we'll give up our constitutional rights. And boy, did we fail. Well, you guys did better than Minnesota. But a huge number of unimaginable restrictions for public health were adopted by billions. Well, hopefully we don't do that again. Say enough is enough. Oh, and thank you, South Dakota, for having the biker rally. I never thought I'd say that, but back when everybody was locked down and masked up and afraid of their shadow, South Dakota said, we're having the biker rally. And guys went out there and just blew a huge hole in their narrative. Oh, it's going to be a super spreader. Everybody's going to die. And they were fine. You know. And so we need people to live. Okay, the social norms for that carbon credits. New definitions of fair share of personal emissions of carbon. How are they going to know how much carbon I'm using? What's my fair share? They're going to be tracking me and you, and they're going to be in control. And they want us in 15-minute cities, climate lockdowns, 15-minute cities, a quarantine program for neighborhoods. They're doing this in Oxford, where they'll need permission to leave their zone. And this one said, motorists will get fined if they leave their neighborhoods too often. They want to control us, our movement. And it's not just Oxford. This is Melbourne. You know, Melbourne, planmelbourne.vic.gov. You get a 20-minute city there. Ooh, that's going to be better, huh? And Edmonton, they're planning it. It's in place. Ottawa. And it's Barcelona, Detroit, London, Melbourne, Milan, Portland. They all want these 15-minute cities, which is going to give the bureaucrats total control. And if you want to see the tyranny associated with this, I gave this climate tyranny talk. I was supposed to give it in 2020 in St. Cloud, so I had a big poster there with a quote. You know, these climate guys, they're always wrong. They've been wrong for 50 years. You want to have some fun, just type in failed climate predictions. And they were predicting global freezing back in the 70s. You know, and it's all this doom and gloom. In 10 years, the world's going to end unless you do what we say. And they've never been right yet. And so we should just, hey, before we give you the microphone, make an accurate prediction. And I'm on Javi. He blew the whistle, or he's a big tech insider. And I encourage people to watch this. Avan Javi, The Final Lockdown. This is on Maria Z, and she's on Rumble. Z has three E's. And there's going to be a digital ID. It's going to be this facial recognition. They'll know everything about you. They'll know if you used up your carbon credits and if you can buy meat or whatever. And if you don't have enough credits, you won't be able to open the door to get the food. And he talked about geofencing. You get outside your district, they can turn off your money. And he says these smart cities are going to be your 15-minute cities. It's going to have limited mobility with no car ownership, weaponized surveillance and control, water rationing, that'll be fun, speech surveillance, mobility tracking, and rationing electricity, gas, and heat. Doesn't that sound like a fun place to be? It's a digital prison. And back to the Bali Declaration, it talks about they want to have, we recognize the effort made by a number of countries to ensure that at least 30% of the global land and at least 30% of the global ocean and seas are conserved or protected by 2030. Well, hey, what if somebody lives on that land? Well, they're going to have to move. That's what's got the Netherlands. You know, their farms are too, their cows are too close to the protected area, and the nitrogen's getting in there supposedly. And so now there's up to 3,000 farmers had to move or shut down. How are they going to feed the people? And that's what really bothers me about those solar fields, solar farms. How much farmland is that taking? How much housing land is that taking? You know, in the desert, I suppose it doesn't matter, but in Minnesota or South Dakota. Okay, and then the national food shortage in 2022, what U.S. grocery store food shortages we're facing this year. Okay, and I mean, how about the price of eggs? What are they now, $5 a dozen? It's crazy. But they did the food. You know how they did the COVID pandemic? They rehearsed that. They did a war game where with the food security game back in 2015. And to make a long story short, it would allow global leaders to monitor and track developments related to food security. And the big solution here is establishing a new coordinating entity under the United Nations. So now to go along with the World Health Organization, we'll have a World Food Organization. And it's if the more you can produce locally, Wendell Berry said, you're only free to the extent that you can provide for your own needs. And so if you can grow a garden, grow a garden. If you can have chickens, have chicken. I think food is going to be very important. And there's been a lot of food processing plants destroyed, like Azure Standard, the 98 food processing plants. And here's a map. This is on ZMaps, food plants destroyed. And you can check what you're looking at. And we're looking at farm animals, grain silos, and plants. And, I heard somebody say that the Russian Revolution, it depended on calories. They got rid of the good farmers, and then people got hungry, and they were more pliable to the government control. And this is a clip from Early Warning, and I could have played about 4 minutes of it that describes exactly what I just explained to you. This was made 40 years ago, but it's talking about global currency. It's talking about controlling the media and the information. And they don't want to be elected. It's better if we're not elected. It was just, and then he says this, which is rather chilling.
We expect some minor resistance, especially from highly motivated religious groups. But eventually, hunger will cause even the most zealous to conform to our program.
Yeah, hunger will get even the most zealous to conform. So if you can produce your food, produce your food. it'll be a tremendous blessing for the local economy. So the more we can take care of locally, and that's one of the steps for the global walkout, is purchase locally grown products. Keep your local stores in business. Because the big chains, they're going to do what the bosses say. You want to support the local people and then pay cash. And also, if you are a farmer, I encourage you to watch Polyface Farms on the High Wire. And this is a farm out in Virginia, and he just farms with nature. He doesn't use any fertilizer. He built the land back up. And what did he do? He treats them like in the wild. In the wild, they mob, move. How do they go? They mob, mow, and move. And that's what he does with his cattle. He just keeps moving around. And then 5 days after they move him, he brings out this mobile chicken coop. And a bunch of these chickens run around, and they level out the cow patties and eat the fly eggs. And he gets chickens, and he gets eggs. And then also Biden, he has signed another executive order, 14081. This was in September of last year, advancing biotechnology and biomanufacturing in an initiative for a sustainable, safe, and secure American bioeconomy. There's that sustainable word again. So what does he want here? We need to develop genetic engineering technologies and techniques to be able to write circuitry for cells and predictably program biology in the same way which we write software and program computers. We shouldn't be messing with the cell. The DNA is God's fingerprint. He's got it perfect. If we start messing with it, we're going to mess it up. It's like having a kindergarten. Hey, go tinker with the engine. Make it better. Well, it's probably not going to work at all when he's done. They're with a computer code. And so this is what they're putting in place. And that, again, could be used for eugenics. You know, that's that Vera Shirov, that Holocaust survivor, she's in another article. And I would encourage, this is online, I encourage you to ask your pastors to do a message on if, when, and how Christians should disobey the government. And then he can talk about what a good Christian and a good church would have done in Nazi Germany or the Revolutionary War, because history may repeat itself. And Vera Shirov, she said eugenics didn't stop. All those doctors that were doing eugenics and scientists, 1,600 of them came to America. And they just went into our universities. And they're teaching our kids that mindset. And it's disturbing. They just searched Operation Paperclip. You know, we got all the scientists out of Germany before the Russians did, or they got our own. And the joke is that, yeah, we beat Russia to the moon because our German scientists were better than their German scientists. And then the other one was, this is the World Economic Forum prediction for 2030. 1 billion people will be displaced by climate change. It's like, how are they going to do that? And I've never talked about this subject in 10, 15 years. I've never talked about chemtrails. I've heard about them. I never researched them. I just, yeah, it's whatever. I never had something I could sink my teeth into. And then the High Wire had somebody, they interviewed somebody who does the geoengineeringwatch.org. Okay, and as I was doing this on Thursday night, somebody chimed in and said, I don't believe in chemtrails. Basically, I said, I didn't either. You know, I'm in your shoes. But let's listen to that interview and then let's talk. Because they had government documents, they had patents, they had video of people saying they can make the controls somewhat the pattern of the weather. And so I encourage you, again, that's a chemtrail controversy on the High Wire, and that just came out 2 weeks ago. And it was neat when we were sitting out with my wife looking at the sky, there was no streaks in the sky. And it's like, man, I can't remember when that happened. And it was kind of reminded me of back in February or March of last year when Scott Quiner was in the hospital. I don't know if you remember that. He was at Mercy Hospital in Coon Rapids, and they wouldn't give him ivermectin, and they wouldn't release him, so they had to sue him to get him released, and they got down to Texas, and the doctor down there says, I've never seen such a malnutritioned person in my life. And the representative who got the airplane for him and got him out of there, you know, he was saying, yes, the phone's ringing off the hook. What's happening in these hospitals? And then last March, I believe, March or February, they had that big rally in D.C. It was defeat the mandate. And then they had Ron Johnson's roundtable where they exposed a whole bunch of corruption. You know, back then, that was when Ottawa, they had the truckers in Ottawa, truckers were rolling to D.C., and back then, right after that, everything loosened up. And I talked to that representative, and he said, you know what, nobody's calling. It just, the phone stopped ringing. So maybe that's what happened with the chemtrail. Somebody shined the light on it, and now they stopped it for a while. I don't know. But it's really neat to see skies that don't have streaks in them. I don't know if you get streaks in the skies down here, but it was noticeable up there. And there's a documentary called The Dimming. I encourage you to watch at least the first half of The Dimming. And then, you know, because again, I don't know if it's true or not. I just encourage people, I just point to people where they can find information. And then you guys come to make your own decision. How else can they control us? They can control us by determining what we see. And in 2016, I did a talk at St. Cloud State called, Are You Being Brainwashed? And back in 2016, I took the search engine and I wrote in, Hillary Clinton is, and let the search engine fill it in. And is a man, winning, awesome, most qualified candidate. So Google loves Hillary. You do that on Yahoo, and they fill in a liar, evil, a criminal, the devil, crook, racist, corrupt, murderer, antichrist, fat. So Yahoo doesn't like Hillary. And you do that in on Bing, and it says a filthy liar, a lying crook, a practicing witch, a murderess, evil, trouble, power hungry. And so your search engine can determine what you see. And then I typed in a deaths associated. And Yahoo is with Clinton, with Hillary Clinton. Those are the top two. With Bing, it's Clinton's, Clinton scandal, Hillary Clinton, Clinton family. So Bing threw it all over. And then with Google, deaths associated with Trump, Bush, Whitewater, obesity. No Hillary. And then I type in the whole thing, and it's like, they don't have any idea. What are you talking about? Okay, so that was years ago. But that, I saw it happen just recently. I searched NATO commander pronouns. I mean, which side's really on the right over in Ukraine? The side that has the pronouns and the transgenders, or the side that doesn't? And it's just an interesting dynamic over there. And when the Ukraine thing came and all the media was pushing it, it's like, well, if the media is pushing it, I don't know. They've been wrong a lot. And then when Hillary and Soros jumped on Ukraine's side, it's like, well, I don't want to be on the side with the globalist. So I don't know what's happening there. I just tend to think that the government and the media is not telling us what is happening there. And they like to get us all going one way. You saw those Ukraine flags all over the internet. I saw one in person just the other day. And we're real good at jumping through the media hoops. But I'm saying, don't watch the media. You need other sources. And so what I did is I got a new browser called Brave. And then this came right to the top. NATO gender inclusive language manual. So your search engine makes a difference. And that was one of the steps. I didn't even know it. But the global walkout, step 15. Is use Brave exclusively, because the other ones track you and they sell that data to the other places, and Google's and Zuckerberg and you know, those people, they tend to be on the other side. Okay, so what have we done? We've looked at the tools of tyranny. Just think if Hitler had this: digital currency, vaccine passports, carbon credits, 15-minute cities, and on and on and on. Okay, now we're going to look at questions that point to tyranny, and I gave this talk. Let's see, in January up in Alexandria. And you can see it on my Rumble channel. It's called Wake People Up Before It's Too Late. And there's like a dozen questions that point people directly into the COVID, or into tyranny. So you can see those. And but these are new ones. I'm not sure if you heard about, did you? Why did YouTube censor the video of the Pfizer executive who said Pfizer and FDA are corrupt? Anybody see this video? Raise your hand if you saw this video. Who watches Project Veritas? We've got 1, 2, like, wow, like less than 1%. Okay, here we go.
Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No.
Don't tell anyone
to tell you. I promise you won't tell anyone. We're exploring, like, now, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate ourselves so we can put on, so we can bring it, I'm simply...
Vaccine. So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk. And, like, as you can imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutate the virus. It's going to be, like, very controlled to make sure that the virus is mutated.
It goes everywhere, it's something crazy. It's the way that the virus started, it would have. To be honest, like, it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
Meet Jordan Tristan Walker, a director of research and development strategic operations and mRNA scientific planning at Pfizer.
It sounds like gain of function to me.
don't know. It's a little bit different. I think it's different. It's like this. It's definitely not gain of function.
It sounds like it is. I mean, it's okay.
No. So directed evolution is very different.
Yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to do gain of function research of the viruses. Like,
yeah.
They recommend not. But you do like these like selective directional mutations to try to see if you make more potent.
Yeah.
So there is research ongoing about that. I don't know how that's going to work. There might not be any more outbreaks. Just like Jesus Christ.
Now, you would think that creating viruses to sell the vaccine would be illegal. But no. The pharmaceutical industry, as Walker puts it, is, quote, a revolving door for all government officials, unquote.
A revolving door for all government officials?
Wow.
Yeah, for any industry, though. So, like, in the pharma industry, all the government officials who, like, you know, review our drugs, especially they come work for pharma companies. Like, the military, like, all the, like, army defense, like, government officials eventually go work for the defense company afterwards.
How do you feel about that revolving door? Like,
it's pretty good for the industry, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's bad for everyone else in America.
Why is it bad for everybody else?
Because if the regulators who have to approve our drugs know that once they stop being a regulator, they won't work for the company, they're not going to be as hard for the company. You know, we're doing this wrong.
Right.
Yeah, good for the industry, but bad for Americans. Yeah, we all knew that. We just never heard a Pfizer executive say that. And this should have been a bombshell story. It should have been all over. Everybody should have known about this. But why didn't the media cover this?
How powerful exactly are the big pharmaceutical companies in this country? Consider the news that did not break today. The pro-transparency news organization, Project Veritas, just released an undercover video of a Pfizer executive bragging on camera about how his company conducts a kind of Frankenstein science, manipulating COVID viruses for profit, imperiling potentially the entire world, doing it in secret, possibly in violation of federal law, bragging about this. And you would think every reporter in this country would be itching to follow up on it, calling Pfizer, telling the public about it. But no, that's not happening. In the 24 hours since Project Veritas posted this footage, it has been viewed more than 12 million times on Twitter. No other media outlet has covered the story at all. MSNBC and CNN, which perhaps not coincidentally, take huge amounts of advertising dollars from Pfizer. Those two channels have devoted a total of 0 seconds to the story. We'll just go online and find out about it. Well, Google, the biggest search engine in the world, which has a monopoly on search in this country, appears to have gone out of its way to make it much more difficult for users to learn anything about the Pfizer executive pictured in the footage. And so there is, in other words, on television and in most places online, a near total media blackout of this story. How powerful is Big Pharma? That powerful.
Wow. So the media didn't cover it, so they got one of these TV trucks and they played it over and over and over again in front of Pfizer. And I did what I could. You know, I put that out in my yard. Pfizer executive says FDA and CDC are corrupt. COVID shots and, this is a different part of that interview. COVID shot causes menstrual irregularities and Pfizer is mutating the COVID virus. And it's all ignored by the Pfizer-funded media. And then I plugged them into projectveritas.com. And the High Wire, they showed some of this clip, and they talked about it. And so then James O'Keefe, he meets this guy.
Hey there. Is this seat taken? You work for Pfizer. My question for you is, why does Pfizer want to hide from the public the fact that they're mutating the COVID viruses?
Is this real life? I'm literally a liar. I was trying to impress a person on a date.
What's your
lying?
Please,
this is absurd.
Please don't touch me. Well, this is not, by the way,
why are you doing
don't
this?
Tell anybody.
This is someone who's just working at a company to literally help the public. You f*** up. You really did. Please bring the cops as soon as possible. I'm really very unsafe.
Can you please unlock your door?
No, don't let them leave.
Please unlock the door. Please unlock the door. Please unlock the door.
So that's a Pfizer executive. He's pretty high up. And what was this go-to thing? I was lying. I was on a date. I was trying to impress my date by lying. What did Pfizer get fined $2.3 billion for? Fraudulent marketing, which is another way of lying. So this is a Pfizer executive. This is the quality of person that they have behind those recommendations. And then I got a question. Why did the Pfizer CEO meet with the Republican Governors Association just weeks after the bombshell story? There he is, Albert Bourla. Anyone answer questions, you know? Why don't they talk to Project Veritas? And there they are at the Republican Governors Association. Why is he there? Why do we want to listen to him? And this is the one question that really disturbs me. How powerful is Pfizer? Why did Project Veritas suspend James O'Keefe just days after their biggest story? 50 million views. They suspended him. How did that go? That James said, you know, one guy said, don't ask for money now because you'll get 10 times more in the future. And James says, no, we'll ask for money and then, you know, we'll let people fund. So they had a conflict of how to raise money. And James finally said, okay, you know, this is not working. And James is the CEO. So he fired him and another guy. And those two went to the board and they had an emergency meeting. And then they suspended James O'Keefe for 6 months. And they took away all his authority and they said, for 2 weeks, you can't have any contact with the company. And you can listen to him explain all this. It's on Rumble. It's been removed from CEO and board. And so in that 2 weeks, I think he was with Bobby Kennedy hiking around the mountains, and he sent a message to the board and said, I can't work for you anymore. Either the board members step down or I'm out of here. And the board members did not step down, so James is out of there. And again, I did my part. Project Veritas suspends O'Keefe after he exposes Pfizer and FDA corruption. So he quit. And James O'Keefe is Project Veritas. He's the one who started it. That's the one people trust. People don't trust him anymore after that's what they did. And again, this is Edwin Snowden. When exposing a crime is treating as committing a crime, you're being ruled by criminals. And so what did James do? He's starting anew. Praise God for him. Yeah, what did he say? Those who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that actually do it. And he's, you know, a lot of people are following. I'm hoping all the donors follow him. And now you got James O'Keefe tips at proton.com, where if you want to be a whistleblower. Okay, and then this is going back to what that Pfizer executive said, how it's a revolving door, pharma and the FDA and CDC. So the question is, why do so many FDA and CDC directors later become executives at Big Pharma? And you can validate this. Just type in Scott Gottlieb on LinkedIn. He was the commissioner of the FDA, and guess what? Now he's on the board of directors at Pfizer. Isn't that interesting? Because remember how that Pfizer exec said, if you don't do a good job, you're gonna have a hard time getting a job with Pfizer? So, and here's another one. This one's Stephen Hahn. He does not have a LinkedIn, so I had to find an article. Former commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration is now to serve as chief medical officer for the venture capital firm that launched Moderna. And then Julie Gerberding. She was the one in charge during VAXT, during the COVID MMR autism thing, or the MMR autism thing. She was the CDC director back then. And then she moved on to, let's see, she moved on to Merck. She was there 12 years. How much money do you think she made at Merck in 12 years? How much money do you make in 12 years? And then she went up, and now she's the chief executive officer at the Foundation of the National Institute of Health, the revolving door. And she sold, Gerberding has made $16 million from selling off her Merck stocks. $16 million. And she's got $9 million left. And let's see, Del Bigtree from the Highwire, he says, do you trust the information that comes from the government agencies when a year after working at that agency, they move into the very company that they exonerated from any wrongdoing and end up making 20-something million dollars in stock options, plus a gigantic salary? Sounds like a payoff to me. Yeah, it sounds like a payoff to me, too. And William Thompson, he was the CDC research scientist. He blew the whistle, claiming the agency covered up vaccine autism connection in relation to the MMR vaccine. Who has seen the video documentary VAXT? One, two, not too many. I encourage you. This is something you need to see, and it's on the Highwire. And it's on, if you just search the movie that started the movement, you can watch it for free. And again, I encourage giving those for baby showers. Why doesn't the HHS have any documents showing aluminum is safe in vaccines? And we covered that earlier. You know, they have no records of it. And And why was a Pfizer advisor on the independent safety board for Pfizer's COVID shot? This is that Dr. Edwards. Again, you learn so much on the high wire. This is so much fun, especially when Aaron Seary's there from the legal department. It's great. So she's Catherine Edwards. She's one of the authors, you know, Plotkin. Oh, he got deposed one time too. It's an 8 or 9 hour deposition. You should watch it. And he starts out saying, "Are you on the board of this pharmaceutical company and that pharmaceutical company and that?" And he just going on all these boards. And then, "Well, you're trying to say I'm corrupt by these things." And then Aaron says, "Well, I'm not saying you're corrupt. You're the one saying you're corrupt." But he's really good. But anyhow, the foreword of this is by Bill Gates, and this is almost a $400 book. This is the vaccine book by Plotkin, and Edwards is there. And now she's on court. She was deposed in that last Zoom meeting, and now she's in court.
Isn't it true that you've also been an advisor to Pfizer?
Yes, sir. I've been an advisor to Pfizer, and I've been working very, very closely with Pfizer, particularly with their COVID vaccines, and going over lots of reactions and adverse events. So yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, and it's supposed to be the independent board that says if that's safe or not. And just before that, she was an advisor. Oh, and she was doing the adverse events. You never heard of the adverse events before.
But isn't it true that directly before becoming a member of the independent data safety monitoring board of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, you were an advisor to Pfizer?
Pfizer pays me to evaluate the safety of their vaccines because I'm an expert. So I do get paid to do the work that I've been doing, but I've been doing it conscientiously and comprehensively.
My question was, before you became a member of the independent data safety monitoring board for Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, isn't it true that you were separately, before you held that independent position, you were an advisor to Pfizer?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, she was an advisor to Pfizer, and she's one of five people saying if it's safe or not. It's supposed to be independent. And this guy, he validates it too.
There's almost $1 billion a year going into FDA's budget from the people we regulate. If they can get every person required an annual vaccine, that is a recurring return of money going into their company.
Yeah, the FDA executive, he talks about the budget. Bobby Kennedy says, oh, it's like half of the budget for... It's either the FDA or the CDC comes from pharma. Okay, do you support the people that depopulate the planet? Again, this is their words. This is the Kissinger report. You got to control the population and reduce population growth. This is Prince Edward. There's a quote. If I were reincarnated, I wish to be returned to the earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. And he's got a quote. Human population growth is probably the single most serious long-term threat to survival. And that's what I was taught when I was in school. If we don't solve the population problem, no other problem matters. And that's just a lie. And he says, cannibalism is a radical but realistic solution to the problem of overpopulation. The depravity of man when they reject God, it seems to have no bounds. And this is a UN publication. This is Jacques Cousteau. World population must be stabilized. And to do that, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day. And this was based on the population bomb by Paul Ehrlich. He wrote another book called Eco-Science with John Holdren. Does that name ring a bell with anybody? He was on Obama's staff as the director of the Office of Science and Technology under Obama. And he's part of this book, and it talks about the development of a long-term capsule that could be implemented under the skin. And then at the bottom it said it could be removed with official permission for a limited number of births. So they really want to control the population. That's Holdren and Ehrlich. And it talked about sterilizing women after their second child or third child instead of the men, because it would be easier. And then it says, read the very last sentence on there. Biological warfare laboratories are potential sources of a man-made solution to the population explosion. Let me read that again. Biological warfare labs, bio labs like Wuhan, are potential sources of a man-made solution to the population explosion. That's that mindset. That's that John Holdren. And then this is a policy. And what did he do right before Trump was inaugurated? He made it legal to do gain of function. On January 17th or something, it was to enhance the pathogen virulence, because there used to be a moratorium on that research. He got rid of that. All right. Okay, so what do we do? There's a lot of forces out there that want to take a lot of our freedom, but there's way more of us than there are of them. And go into that globalwalkout.com. There's simple little things, and if we all start getting united and waking people up and paying with cash with a little note giving them a good source of information, and that's what I do at St. Cloud State, you know. You don't know Pfizer was the biggest criminal find because they advertise so much, and the news won't cover it, so you need a good source of information, and you have friends that want a good source of information, and they have friends, and they have friends. I encourage people to watch the high wire. You know, that's a good source. Global Walkout. And Kennedy, he said, if governments get control, they don't give it up. Not peacefully, anyway. And governments will abuse their power eventually. And you don't get free from government control by obeying it. You just embolden them to do more. So again, if they try to do what they did with COVID, we need mass, peaceful non-compliance. I do not comply. You get your rights because we comply. Go to the Declaration of Independence. And I go to the St. Cloud State. You know, what would you do in Nazi Germany? Resist, comply, turn in your neighbors, refuse orders, or enforce orders? And they tell me, most of them say, yeah, I'd resist. You know, I say, oh, you'd stand up for people whose rights were being infringed? Oh, yeah. Well, what'd you do last year when the nurses' rights were being infringed and they were having the big rally to stop that, not get the shot? And again, I got interviewed, but I went to Oklahoma. They had these, this is wrapping it up pretty quick. They have a national grasslands where they're trying to restore to the way it was. And bison are a key part of that. And every year they said they round them up and they give them their shots and sell some and butcher some. And it's like, well, how do you round up buffalo? And they said, we just go from one end of the range to the corral with the alfalfa pellets. Just make a stream of alfalfa pellets. And then about 2 weeks we got them. And so what's our alfalfa pellets? How are they going to get us into their corral? It's technology, I believe. The latest and greatest upgrade on the phone. So we can play our video games. Right? So we can get 5G or 6G. And I think that's a key component in that surveillance. I think that we need to resist that also. And resist pretty much anything. You know, again, this shirt again. Just resist. And make vaccine companies liable again. That would stop a lot of this. If they're safe, as effective as you say, okay, put your money where your mouth is. All right, okay, and again, I've got this on my, I've got another channel, Education Not Indoctrination. It is the first responsibility of every citizen to question authority. That's Ben Franklin. And Corey Ten Boom, but it's good to get reminded. If you look at the world, you're going to be distressed. It's chaotic out there. And if you look within, you're depressed. And a really good way to get over depression is to help somebody else out. Take your eyes off yourself, help somebody overcome their issues. You don't have to look at you. And then that helps you, too. Okay, but then if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. And again, these things I've spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I love this. Be bold. Love this trek. This must have been a God thing. I never have my camera when I go walking with my wife, but I wanted to get a picture of a vaccine billboard, and I had it. And this guy just happened to be there that one day. Heaven or hell, it's your choice. Jesus is the way. And again, I've got to give, send, go if people like the messages, want to keep the wheels rolling. Got that YouTube and Rumble channel. And then Bobby Kennedy. I encourage people to get that Bobby Kennedy book. I got about 40 of them and passed them out, my sons and I. It was my investment in freedom. I knew the more people that read chapter one, the quicker COVID would be over.
This kind of advocacy work is filled with failures and disappointments. And in this case, a lot of tragedies. As you watch people dying, you watch children getting strokes, dying of a heart attack, something we've never seen before. And then you watch the power of the propaganda to reinforce this orthodoxy. People you know and love. Smart people will not look at data. And what I would say is that you've got to stay in the battle. You have to find some place of the spiritual peace to proceed from inside of yourself. What you have to do is your job, which is to get up every morning and say, reporting for duty, sir, and then go educate people, talk back even when it's painful, give people the data, encourage them to come to our site or other places that are telling the truth. Keep getting up every day and don't get discouraged. Find peace inside of yourself by knowing that you're doing the right thing every day and that getting up and fighting for this is what you were put on this planet to do at this point in history, because it's the biggest issue.
It is the biggest issue outside of salvation. This is the biggest issue. Are we going to be free or are we going to be slaves? What we do matters. And here's some good sources of information. I'll just leave them up there if you want to take a picture. You know, the High Wire every Thursday, Stu Peters every day. You know, and that's the megaphone for the common person. And then again, locally, vote with your money locally. Watch Died Suddenly on Rumble. Read The Real Anthony Fauci and also The Courage to Face COVID by Peter McCullough. And with that, are there any questions? I covered a lot of stuff. This may not be what you wanted to hear, but I think it is what we need to hear, because ignoring reality does not eliminate the consequences of that reality. And I think the more people we get to see this, the harder they are, the harder time they're going to have putting us in that, what they want. Any questions at all? Questions, comments? All right. Well, thank you so much for coming today. Thank your pastor for allowing this talk today. There are some pastors that would not. But again, he wants to lead, feed, and protect you. And Satan has some bad plans for you out there. And if you know about it, it's going to be a lot easier to step away from them. And so again, be an encouragement to your pastor. Let's close in prayer. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We do thank you so much for your word and this world and your wonderful creation. Thank you for these bodies that work the way you designed them, how we can walk and talk and think and see and hear. Thank you for your abundant provision of time and talent and treasure. We do ask for your guidance on how to use these precious gifts to make an impact for you. We do pray for those who don't know you as Savior. We pray that you would work in their hearts and put them across our path and help us to share the gospel in a way that they can understand it and so they can go to heaven. And we do pray for our country, Lord. You know, if you are judging it, we pray that you would preserve a remnant. And we do pray for that spiritual wickedness would be cast down in high places. We pray that everything that's been in darkness and lies would be brought to light, and that evildoers would be brought to justice. And we just pray for a godly generation to rise up and stand strong for you and risk the consequences. We pray for a spirit of boldness in this congregation, that this could be the spark that lights a brush fire that spreads throughout the nation and drives those tyrants back into the woods where they belong. And we ask for a blessing of good health for everyone here, especially the pastor and his wife and his family, that they would continue to do your work and give them strength and courage. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.